Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Talking Blues podcast. It's just me today. Peter and Josh unfortunately could not make it, but just because it's only me doesn't mean we don't have a lot to talk about. Chelsea 2-1 win against Leicester City, and a huge signing defensively that has just been confirmed today as well. So super exciting stuff. And I guess let's just get right into it first with the game. Leicester City, you know, they've kind of not been playing super well so far this season. Obviously have been underperforming. You know, they had a bad result. You know, they've had a few bad results recently, and it's not exactly been ideal for them. They actually haven't had a win all season yet. They've only picked up 1 point against Brentford. It looked like at a certain point, when Gallagher got sent off, that they possibly could get another point here, but it didn't turn out to be that way. In general, I thought Chelsea played well. I think in certain aspects, especially defensively, we still look shaky, which is a bit concerning. Tuchel did switch to the 4-2-4 at the back for this game, and we did play that most of the game until Aspi came on. Well, actually, half of the game until Aspi came on at halftime. I was kind of wondering, like, what the hell is Tuchel doing? I was wondering, what the hell is he doing when he brought on Aspi? But it turned out to be quite a good decision going down the road. But I want to talk about initially, kind of going chronologically through the game. In general, the first 20 minutes, we started off well. We definitely saw a few chances. Ruben Loftus-Cheek got that really great chance. Good save by their goalkeeper, Ward. Obviously, it's not Kasper Schmeichel anymore after he left. I believe he went to Nice. But yeah, good save from him. And then, you know, Gallagher, he gets that silly first yellow card where, you know, we had men back. It's like it was unnecessary. You don't need to take that. And then, of course, when he actually has to take a foul after Cucurella just makes an awful, I don't even know what the hell he was doing, an awful corner and then an awful, you know, re-swing in after he got the deflection from his corner. It was just not good. And, you know, I think in terms of who to blame for that, it's probably 50-50. A little bit on Cucurella and a little bit on Conor Gallagher. But Gallagher, he's got to use his head at that point. And even in that scenario, you know, you had a couple of players. They weren't back, but they were definitely there, you know, kind of stride by stride with him. One of them being Thiago Silva, so I don't think that's a valid one because obviously Thiago Silva doesn't have that pace anymore, or never really did, to be honest, but especially not anymore. And, you know, I forget who the other player was at that time. It might have been even Cucurella, who, you know, probably could have caught up with him. So I don't think it was a total necessity going a man down. I don't think Gallagher had to do that. And, you know, it's kind of, it was frustrating at the time. I was yelling at my TV, but, you know, I certainly understand why he did it, but it was more about the first yellow card that was mainly the issue. And we saw, you know, he was in a midfield three this time. He did look better, I thought, today. You know, before the first 20 minutes of the game, in the first 20 minutes of the game before he got sent off. I thought he did look better than, last week, obviously. But I still don't think he's exactly the perfect fit for what Chelsea needs. I think a lot of us thought that he would be... I'm not going to say that. I kind of thought, maybe some other people thought, that he could kind of be like Mateo Kovacic, where he could drive the ball forward, where he was high energy. Maybe that's a little bit different from Kovacic, but I think a lot of people thought he was going to be a really good fit for this Chelsea team. They were, you know, begging for, you know, for him to get a chance. And now that he's kind of gotten a few games under his belt for Chelsea, it just seems like, you know, we saw it in preseason too. It just seems like he's not the perfect fit for this club and what Tuchel's trying to do. So I think in general, if you could send him out on loan, I think that would probably be the right decision. I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek is probably still ahead of him at this point. And I think he provides the physicality, that you really need in the Premier League right now. As we saw, you know, in all these games now you're seeing, I feel like, you know, the league's almost getting more physical, which is kind of funny. You'd think it's probably getting more technical now, but I think it's actually getting more physical, funny enough. And I guess past the red card, you know, Chelsea, we looked uncomfortable. It wasn't like a terrible thing, because we just saw Mount drop into that midfield three and then Sterling and Havertz up front. But then eventually Mount, Havertz, they weren't doing anything in the first half. And then Mount got hooked off at halftime, which I think was the proper decision. I think, you know, Havertz, we'll talk about in a second, but I think he actually played pretty well in the second half. But with Aspi coming on, that made it a back three of Chalobah, Silva, and Aspi, and then James and Cucurella at wing back, and then Loftus-Cheek and Jorginho in the midfield, and then Havertz, Sterling up front. And I think that definitely made us much better, because Reece James could get forward more, Cucurella could get forward more. And what I'll say is, Cucurella, after he made that terrible mistake for that red card, he really looked crisp. He looked like he was finding every single pass. He had that great chance to Sterling that Sterling missed, but I think he overall looked really, really crisp. He looked like that last week too, funny enough. I think as he progresses through the game, he looks a lot better. In the beginning of the game, he never looks that good, which is kind of funny. But hopefully he can play well the full 90 minutes from now on. That's kind of what you'd expect from a signing of his quality, of his what we paid for him. But it's certainly a funny thing that I've noticed. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that, but just something I see. I'd say Reece James obviously was the best player on the pitch the whole day. He was just sensational. And then he, you know, for the second Sterling goal, Sterling obviously had that lucky deflection for the first goal, but still, Amate, I believe it was, gave him way too much space, and he was able to kind of hook it into the top right corner. A little deflection there, which helped him out. But you could see the passion that Sterling has, how happy he was. So I'm happy for him, happy for us, because we got the goal. And then, like, shortly after that, Sterling had a terrible miss, or wasn't a miss, it was actually a great save by the goalkeeper, which could have put us 2-0 up, but then shortly later, we did go 2-0 up, and, Sterling, with a great pass from Reece James, which was just a bullet that went right to him, and he didn't Timo Werner it, he actually scored, so that was refreshing, you know, we go 2-0 up. Quickly after, we concede to Harvey Barnes. What a quality goal, but I feel like Mendy, again, he has to get down to his near post, and I think Harvey Barnes knew that. He was like, if I drive it low and hard at Mendy's near post, I think he could certainly, you know, it could certainly go in, and he was right. Mendy, I think, does struggle to get down low on powerful shots, for sure, when he doesn't have enough time. I don't think he's quick in that aspect, so certainly something that's a little bit concerning there. And overall, that was pretty much it. Chelsea just held out. We defended. And overall, that was pretty much it. In terms of standout players, I thought Mendy was all right throughout the whole game. James, I thought, was really good, as usual. I thought Chalobah was pretty solid. And now we just got the news, actually, that Chelsea are going to forbid Chalobah from seeking a loan move, which I think is the right decision, because we need to have him in the squad. I think he's good depth, and I think he's certainly a good starter in a pinch. Thiago Silva was masterful. I think he was probably borderline man of the match as well. He's just insane, man. Cucurella was all right. Loftus-Cheek, Jorginho, all right. Gallagher obviously got sent off. Mount was terrible. Kai Havertz was all right. And Sterling was very good. So that's kind of like my overview of the lineup. I thought Kovacic, when he came on, was very good as well. Pulisic, I could say the same. Aspi, I would say the same. I think all the substitutes by Tuchel definitely worked out. So that's definitely a good thing, and a good win for Chelsea. Another game coming up on Tuesday against Southampton. That's going to be important to pick up another 3 points, and that's going to certainly hopefully push us ahead in the standings right now, where Chelsea are in 6th place with 7 points. There's 2 teams with 10 points in Brighton and Man City, and then Arsenal with 12 points. Hopefully we can push ahead here and continue our season positively. In an effort to do that, Chelsea have made another signing. This is a big one. Wesley Fofana, funny enough, from Leicester City, will be joining Chelsea which is, you know, it was kind of a long time in the making. I do want to point out that in an interview, I believe when we were talking with Crego, I mentioned, oh, what about Wesley Fofana? And then sure enough, Chelsea were interested in the next few days, and now he is signing for Chelsea. The fee is about £70 million guaranteed, with about £5 million in add-ons if we win the Champions League, if we win the Premier League, etc., which probably is not going to happen. So £70 million flat for Wesley Fofana. That brings him as the third highest defender of all time in terms of transfer fees behind Maguire. And, oh my god, there's another player there as well, but I'm forgetting the name now. I think he's going to be a great signing. I think Fofana is going to be really good. Only 21 years of age. I think he's going to be a big part of Chelsea's future. He wanted to come here. It's a six-year deal. He's completing his medical on Sunday or tomorrow or today when you're listening to this. So certainly going to be really exciting. And I think he's going to be a big, big part of this Chelsea team. Now you've got Koulibaly, Silva, and Fofana with Chalaba backing him up there, with Cucurella having flexibility to play a left center back, with Aspi flexibility to play right center back. I think you've got now good depth at the center back position. I think that's, with Fofana in, you're now good. You've replaced Christensen and Rudiger with Fofana and Koulibaly. So I think that's certainly a good thing. And I think Fofana is going to be really, really good going forward for Chelsea. I don't think this is the final signing, though. I think, obviously, Anthony Gordon is certainly someone who's been talked about a lot in the media, that Chelsea are interested, submitted a £50 million bid, Everton looking upwards of £60 million for him. I don't think he's worth that, but I know Tuchel really likes him, so if Chelsea did do that, I wouldn't be as furious as some people. And I think, you know, Aubameyang coming in for £20 million or so. I heard a weird rumor today. It was like the personal terms are a difficulty because Aubameyang wants a two-year deal, but Chelsea only want a one-year deal. I'm like, why would you sign him for £20 million if you're only going to give him a one-year deal? So I feel like that's kind of silly. I don't know if that's true, obviously, but we'll have to see. But I think you need to bring in a number nine, another guy who can just score goals. Because right now it just seems like Raheem Sterling could score goals and no one else. Mason Mount at times if he can get back on form. But Havertz, Pulisic really, Ziyech certainly, none of those guys really score goals consistently. Neither does Mason Mount. And obviously our main man, number nine, is the least consistent of them all in terms of goal scoring in Kai Havertz. So we'll have to see what happens with that. And obviously another midfielder would certainly be helpful and, you know, in depth purposes, because we know Kovacic, we know Conte, they get injured often, and then you're only left with Jorginho and Loftus-Cheek. So certainly interesting there. I don't think it's going to be someone like a Frankie de Jong, but could it be someone else on the lower end side who maybe won't cost you £80 million? So we'll have to wait and see about that. But certainly exciting stuff here as the transfer window rolls to an end. It's August 27th today. So that means, what do we have, 4 more days? I believe it ends September 1st now, right? That's our, that they moved it back now after COVID. So 4-5 more days, and it'll certainly be an exciting few more. Fofana in, who else is going to be next? We'll have to wait and see. But with that, I think that's all for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to go follow us on Twitter at Talking Blues Pod. And that's where we'll have, you know, a couple, any updates on the podcast if we ever have them, if we do, you need to post them, I should say. I believe that's it. Thank you all for watching, or listening, actually. I'm losing my mind here. It's pretty late at night here. Thank you, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.